Good morning. Thank you for making the effort at 9 o'clock this morning. It's great actually hearing you guys all talking. It sounds like being in a more of a semicircle style like this actually facilitates talking a little bit more, and it's nice to be able to see that. And I think my expectation maybe what this session was going to be and what Microsoft was from Ignite point of view are very different. I walked in and there was a circle here of these seats. I was like, okay, I was expecting more rows and all that kind of thing. And then the gentleman at the back came to me and says, you're not using the projector, are you? And I'm like, yeah, I've got lots of things kind of I want to go through the slides. So all of a sudden I'm a bit flustered, a bit like, oh, what are we going to do? But I still wanted to keep it more of an interactive session. I wanted to be able to learn from each other. That's one of the things that Satya said at the keynote, or was it Scott who said, you know what, let's talk to each other, let's facilitate what each other are doing, let's learning. So I kind of put some agenda items, you could say, things that we could go through and to chat, he says as he points down. So I thought these are the big things that are going on from an education point of view at this moment in time. And hopefully everyone or some people have got experience with some of these. So I'm sure we've all seen Windows 10, right? I can see service devices around and all that kind of thing. Are people familiar with Class Notebook? Yes, some nods, some kind of knows. Microsoft Classroom? Yeah, a few less, I would say. And I guess these are the ones at the very bottom. So you've got the Mix, Sway, Forms, Office Lens. I thought we could go through some of these if we get a bit of time, and again, kind of talk about them together point of view. But I thought, you know what I'll do is I'll introduce the session, and then maybe we'll talk about, I'll put some questions together for each of the areas, talk about these different sections, what we're using. Maybe you guys can share in the small group of the four or five or the person who you sat next to around, you know what, this is how I'm using it, or this is how I think I could potentially use it. So I'll give a bit of a demo of that, and then we'll kind of take it on from there. So hopefully everybody can learn something from each other. If not, you've learned the product, and we can take it on from there. I think it'd be great if people ask questions as we go along. I have got a microphone. So if you want to say, you know what, I found this really useful from somebody else, it'd be great to be able to share it with the rest of the people in the room, but also for those who are listening from a recording point of view as well. So I'm Alex Pierce. I'm an Office Servers and Services MVP. I have been for 9 years now. This is my first time in Atlanta. I've come with my wife. She's currently 22 weeks pregnant with our first baby, so we're looking forward to a nice little girl in January. So she's out enjoying the sun, all the weather, all the things you don't get in England. Certainly not when it comes to 30 degrees anyway. But you can follow me on Twitter. I do a lot of blogging around the education sector. I've been doing that for a good 10 years now. So my experience is working in schools. I actually did my work experience in a school in the UK when I was about 15 or 16. I then decided, you know what, I don't want to go to college, university. Education system in the UK finishes when you're 16. So I went and did an apprenticeship. And here I am 16 years later running my own company. We do Office 365 education. We don't really do anything else. It's not we do charity or enterprise or small business. We just focus on let's making things right for students, education sector, e-safety aware, and all that kind of thing. So I've got a small team back in the UK working on those kind of things. I used to work in secondary schools. So it was an all-girls school of about 900 students. And then I went and worked with one of the largest schools in Europe, which was about 2,600 students. And I'm sure there's some probably secondary and higher schools in the US that are bigger than that, but it was certainly a challenge in such a small area within the city of Birmingham. So I just thought, you know what, let's have a bit of a see what people are doing, what area they're in. So you could get some student tickets here. Are there any students who are here in the room? No, great, but that's fine. That's not a problem at all. Who works in the K-12 area? Cool. Higher education, further education? Wow, a lot more of you, wow. Any Microsoft partners in the room who work in the exchange? We've got one here, there's me as well, kind of thing. And that's kind of who's just here because of general interest. Maybe they're a parent. Few. Yeah. I guess the thing is I like to go through and kind of explain to people sometimes, you know what, you can get Office on your home PC for your kids because that's how some of the things in Office 365 is set up, which we'll touch on. So you can actually help out the whole family point of view. So Windows 10. I think we've all seen Windows 10 point of view. We play with it from a pen point of view. Microsoft are really pushing it from an education point of view. We've seen lots of different things that have been added. We saw the, did everybody see the maths thing that was added from a OneNote point of view in the keynote? And some of that facilitating. For me, I want to know how I can turn the answer bit off because I don't want the kids to find out the answer. I want them to learn how to do the answer, if that makes sense. That's obviously some of the important things. So let me kind of see what the time is so I can keep track on things. Right. Windows 10. So we've got Windows 10. I've actually got two touch devices here. I've got an actual Surface Pro, and I've got a normal touch screen of some sorts of here. Let me get rid of that because that was me installing Mix. So out of interest, how many use the pen in the classroom, either as the teacher or with the students or encourage them to have a device such as that? It's a few, cool. So how many kind of do that then with OneNote as well when it comes to it? Cool, so just one extra hand I see go up at the back for that one. So the pen is kind of this new third input device. That's how Microsoft are kind of trying to sell it. And I actually agree with this. I really like the idea. You know what? My digital textbook comes with a pen, or if you're using Apple, the pencil. Of course, that's what they call it. But the idea being is that, you know what, you don't need your notepad, you don't need everything, everything can be digitalized. And then all of a sudden, because we've got the whole Microsoft ecosystem, it can be searched, it can be relevant, it can kind of easily go through. So this is kind of where one of my things kind of came up a bit stumped. I've got a MacBook, that's my own personal device. We were told when I have nice Surface devices on here, I thought, you know, brilliant, I can use the pen. There isn't a pen. I don't know if someone's stolen it or it's actually gone away, but I'm going to kind of just try and talk about it a little bit more and maybe use OneNote that we've got here. But we've kind of just seen the pen added from a OneNote point of view first, and if I go into here, draw, and if I have my pen, I'll easily be able to draw and I can do my handwriting and all that kind of thing. But we're seeing it added more and more into Word, into Excel, into PowerPoint as well. So if I open up Word, he says, I didn't do that earlier on. Word. We're starting to see, jumped onto the screen, we're starting to see draw. And mentioning that, it was great to see another demo of making it easy to be able to actually highlight your work in some of the keynote demos that we've actually got there. So actually, it's very easy for us to be able to do this. And there's some great education tools out there that people have built on top of the new APIs that Microsoft are offering. So it's not just Microsoft software that can use the pen, but also obviously Word, Excel, third-party applications. So if it's something, you know what, you're going to go for a device strategy where you use these kind of input devices, also do some research around what other software is actually available. So the questions that I put together for this section, so this is probably going to go through quite quickly thinking of it because we've only got 45 minutes, but it might be a little bit difficult, but maybe you can talk from your own experience. If you've got a touch device in front of you, you've got an iPad, you've even got maybe an iPhone, Windows phone, whatever it may well be. But how do you find the touch? Do you think it's revolutionized the way that you work around how maybe your students and your teachers are working? Maybe you just offer it from a teacher's point of view. So do you guys want to try and chat? Do you want to introduce yourselves to each other and kind of try and facilitate that? Quiet. For those who are listening, everybody sat here in silence. Anybody? No? No. All right, we'll move on to 365. Hopefully we'll... So who actually uses... I'm expecting this one to have a big more from a hands point of view. Who's using Office 365? Brilliant. I'm going to ask the other question. Who uses Google? Okay, so that's about half of you. Is that because you like some of the services in Google and 365? You're using both. So you've got one for email out of interest... And then, or kind of...
We have our students, for higher ed, we have our students on Google Apps, but students on like some benefits that
were
cut to us financially back in the day. So we're planning our
migration of students. Nice. So moving them from Google to Office 365 platform. Brilliant. And what out of interest then, so what's helped you make that decision to go from one free platform to another free platform? Okay. Yeah, cool. So is that around the collaborations, like groups, like forms, co-authoring? Is those are the kind of things when you say collaboration? Okay. So being able to do meeting requests, all that kind of stuff, and being able to take it up there. Anybody else got any other thoughts? Anything else they want to add from a Google point of view? Go ahead. Yeah. Cool. So it's kind of you're giving the schools an option if they want Google, if they want 365. That's cool, because I think sometimes you do hear from schools that actually, I heard that this school were doing this, and I heard that this school were doing that, and then they want to go off with that trend to be able to, you know what, facilitate the same kind of learning, and they can do CPD together and that kind of thing. So it's nice that you're offering a selection. I encourage that to people to be able to do that. So I thought I'd just kind of go into two or three things from a 365 point of view, minus classroom and OneNote class notebook, which we'll go into a little bit separately. These are things that are available in the platform that we've got there. So I'm logged in as a teacher at this moment in time. Where is it gone? What's going on? That one. Thank you. So I'm actually logged in as my admin account for my education tenant that I've got here. It's a demo school from this point of view. It's called Academy. And whenever Microsoft make a change to Office 365, it normally affects us as well. So this is a new page. Does everybody see this page now? Or have they still got the old page when you first log on to Portal? Yeah, seen this one. That's good. So it's obviously showing that things are kind of going through. Certainly from being more in a European data center or soon be a UK data center, we see things a little bit later. But with first release, I kind of take it on there. And if you are a partner, or maybe if you are serious about, you know what, really taking stride and understanding what's going on here, maybe having two tenants is a good idea. One with first release, find out what's going on, play with all the new things that Microsoft are adding, learn what you need to actually turn off maybe. No, we're not quite ready for groups, or maybe we're not ready for classroom. And then when you are, turn it on in your trial tenant, and then you obviously know what you're going to do and implement it from a live point of view. So I still like to call this the Waffle. This was its nickname and its code name when it was built from a Microsoft point of view. But the app launcher is there. We see quite a few different things. We've got Planner. We've got all sorts of different things in there. We've got Mail. I don't think I need to explain exactly what Office 365 is there. But we have got these additional things such as Classroom, Class Notebook, and for some reason, I don't know why, I don't seem to have Forms in mind, but I'm logged in as a teacher, another person here, and I've got Forms point of view as well. Are people familiar with Office Forms? No, so we can go into Office Forms as well. Let's go into Office Forms and have a look. So this was to compete with a surprisingly different product name called Google Forms. The whole idea being is that it can actually be quite easy for somebody to make a nice little quiz. It doesn't integrate with anything yet. There's no kind of way for us as partners to be able to do stuff. But let's give it a name. My quiz. So we've got some questions, and we can ask five questions in here, or five different types, I should say. So we've got multiple choice. We can actually do a proper quiz, so we can give it an answer. We've got some free flow text that we can add, and we can do some rating. We can also put the date. So we'll do the date one first. What is today's date? Nice and easy. We'll say that's a required. We'll add a quiz. So where is Ignite 2016? So I can say it's in Seattle. I can say it's in Atlanta, of course. I can add another option if I want to say so. It's in London. You know what? This is the correct answer. I can change whichever I want to the correct answer, allow multiple answers, and I can give them a point should I want to. part of that. So we'll just go through these very quickly. We've got multiple choice. So this is more kind of, it's not necessarily a quiz question, but it's maybe I just want to ask and get some feedback back from them. And I give that a 1, give that a 2. We'll add a rating. How is this session? Hopefully we'll give that a 5-star in a minute. And we've just got that free flow text. What did you say? And we'll give that as a longer answer. So that's quite nice and easy, hopefully quite an easy for anybody just to go off and create, really. And if I click on preview, you can see that's what people are going to see from a screen point of view. So quite easy, and we can share this with them. There's the mobile view. So if you're helping to facilitate more of the mobile learning and using mobiles in the classroom. But actually, I'll fill in one of these very quickly. What's today's date? 28th. I mean, Atlanta. That one. And plenty of text. So I've now responded to that. So when I go back, I can see my responses. I've had one. That one, or two, or three will kind of build up as students, or if you wish to survey staff, maybe want to go off, and that will kind of build up for you and builds up a nice little pie chart. Let me show you one of these that we've added before. So I go to forms. So if you can get to it, if you don't have it in your app launcher, it's forms.office.com. This is only available for education tenants. Nobody else can use it other than education customers. And when I've demoed this before, lots of people have said, is this a replacement to InfoPath? And no, it's not. Very simple answer. Here are my responses. So I did this based on my beloved Aston Villa football team, who were relegated from the English Premier League. And I put this up on the blogs to see what people's responses were. And these are the kind of things that I got. Luckily, there was no swearing. You can kind of see there's a nice little pie chart, and I can see from there's a few different options. I got the rating of how you actually rate the season. I wouldn't rate it 2.5 if we're kind of bottom of the league. But if I click on details, we get those different answers. Now, these are anomalous because I left it as an anomalous actual form. But what we do have is the ability, if they've logged in as their Office 365 account, as you may well have just seen there, it gives us the name. We can export that as an Excel spreadsheet. So that's it's a nice little thing. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so the question was kind of how do we keep it secure? So when we come to send, we've got this bit down in this bottom right-hand corner which says only people within my organization and record it. So when we click and we share it and we send this URL to the students, or whoever it is you might want to send it to, it will only stay within your organization. Say that again, sorry. So you actually mean so it automatically comes through as a question kind of thing? Let me show you, I think I know what you mean. Let me copy that and I'll open it up as my student that I've got here. Like that, is that what you mean? So, oh, I don't know. We'll talk about it afterwards, maybe, and I'll try and understand it a little bit further. But yes, that's how you share it, by the way. No, absolutely not. No. So I guess then that's probably a nice way to go into Microsoft Classroom. Have you seen Microsoft Classroom of interest? Okay. Okay. Turn it off. Fair enough. So anybody been using Microsoft Classroom? I mean, yeah, I got that problem from a UK point of view, so it's not outside of America at this moment in time. So not many, I don't think. Has anybody seen it? Everybody's kind of seen it. Okay. Well, I'll go through very quickly for those who haven't. I'm actually logged into my student here. Let me flip back to my teacher, and I'll just kind of go through it very briefly then. Do people like it from those who have played with it so far? Do we feel like it could be a replacement for an LMS? Or is just another thing that's a complementary to maybe what you've already got? Yeah. Does anybody use Google Classroom? There's a few hands up. Cool. So it'll be interesting to see kind of maybe what you guys think of this and see how it kind of compares. So I've logged in as a teacher here. I can see all my assignments across all my classes. So you can kind of see History 101 here. Slightly frustrating from my point of view, it does it in reverse order. So all my latest things that are currently in progress are actually at the bottom. That's just one of my things. We can see how many things have been handed in. So it's a nice little splash screen for all the stuff. Now, this is based on Office 365 groups. So everything that you've heard about groups this week so far is actually relevant to the classroom. So I've got my 10FB here, and you can kind of see. And if you haven't noticed recently that groups had a bit of a redesign. So when you go into Outlook and you kind of get this new look and feel, well, Microsoft Classroom is kind of one step behind from that new look and feel. But we can see all our assignments that we've got here. I can go to Pew Classroom here, as it's called. And I think I've got one in here. These are all my details from my assignments. I can see my scores that I've allocated. I've got the document, the resources that I gave out. I've got my submission, so I can actually go off and I can post the mark. I can actually go off to the piece of work that is stored in the student's OneDrive to actually go off and see this. So it's automatically been shared from their OneDrive. So the students can easily pick up their mobile device. They can open up Word. They can open up OneDrive, and they can do their work and theirs. Question over on the side. Okay. Yeah.
We have not enabled, actually, we actively disabled the groups feature because we're not quite ready for kind of the concerns about life cycle management for groups.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, so you have to have groups. So I actually got a bit of a funny story. Before Classroom came along, I had a university in the UK kind of come up to me and we were just chatting. He says, I had a problem with groups because these things get turned on, don't they, automatically in our tenant and kind of thinking all of a sudden we find them because there's been a complaint. Or somebody said a kind of thing. Well, their complaint was is that one of the students realized that when they created an Office 365 group, they could also create it in the same name of one of the teachers. And they created one as the principal's name. So you go to your email, you go to two, you see Mr. A Principal, and you see Mr. A Principal in bold, because that's a distribution list when it's bolded. And of course, people are going, well, which one do I email? Do I email it to the one that's not bold or the bold one? Well, of course I email the one that's bold, because why else would it be bolded? So all of a sudden, the student's getting half the emails that have been sent internally to the principal. So these are the kind of things that, you know what, staying on top of there. Go ahead.
We have groups at that university, but we have these
Yeah. 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 And I was about to say that because I went to a session yesterday which was managing Office 365 groups. I think it was at 12:15 or something like that. And I actually found that session really, really useful. And hopefully that, you know what, that will include creating an Office 365 classroom so I can manage my teachers and the way they can do it, as well as the group. So that's maybe if you weren't able to get to that one, so to go to it. Go ahead, sir. And I think that's great to be able to get this from a session point of view. That's what I was hoping to be able to, you know what, let's have people talking, sharing. Go ahead, madam. I agree. One of the things that we've done is try to encourage to do that, to elevate it to a group or mostly a distribution, because when cover staff come in, they don't know what's been going on in the school the last 24 hours. So it's an opportunity for them to go back and actually go, okay, these are the things I need to be aware of as they're actually going through. Are people familiar with School Data Sync? I'm not seeing anybody. So this is something that's actually part of Microsoft. This wasn't part of my demo, but it's all part of this whole, well, we create them automatically from DLs and all that kind of thing. So this is from Microsoft. This is coming as part of, or is part of already, the 365 tenants. Let's see. I think it's actually just SDS, not Microsoft. So this is an ability for MISs to link, at the moment it's get a CSV file. You upload it into your Office 365 admin center, and then it goes off and provisions all your classrooms for you. So provisions all your Office 365 groups as well. I'm going to see if I can find the actual slide on here. Give me 2 seconds. Yes, I think that's one of the few, if maybe the only one that's got it. Where is the presentation? Let's see if that is plugged in. I don't actually know the status of it, but I think it's probably something worth just mentioning. Right, let me find out which one of these that it's going to be. Right, number one. Do you know which number of the laptop, one of the cables it's plugged in, or to keep going through until I find it? You don't need to come up. It's coming through. It'd be one of these. Five. It's not five.
7.
There we go. Got there. Sorry. Thank you. So this is kind of the slide that I got sent around School Data Sync from Microsoft. So you've got your class roster, you've got your students, you've got your teachers, they're stored in your SIS, your MIS, whichever that you may want. It kind of does stuff within Active Directory. So this is kind of where your groups are actually stored. And then it will go off and it will provision everything that you need from an Office 365 point of view. And then this is kind of a bit of a partner slide as well. So then partners can build on top of the Microsoft Graph API to actually then interact with Office 365. So sds.microsoft.com. And I think they're working on that. But certainly, you may well find that you can get a script that pulls it all out, sticks it into the set of CSV files that then does all this for you. You may well need to upload it every single day, or how often your actual SIS changes. So it's not full true sync yet, but certainly provisions the students in the right area, provisions them into the groups, and then obviously you can build all your management around how you wish to do the groups from that point of view. What else is just after this slide? The groups, just so you know, so that's your normal type of group. You've got this directory. If you are a partner and you want to be able to get that class information about who the students are and all that kind of thing, you can do through the Windows Azure Graph API. And then you've kind of got all those things that obviously go off and get provisioned from a group point of view. So you've got your planner, you've got Power BI should you want it. So then kind of classrooms and data sync sits in those to actually go off and provision them for you. What else is in here? Save money, requirements. That was the last one that was there. Does that seem interesting? Were people not really aware of that? No. I'll take that back, I think. I'll speak to... many people turn up to Mike's session yesterday around OneNote Class Notebook? There's a few, so maybe that's something I'll take back. To say maybe you need to increase your marketing opportunities for that point of view. Any other comments from anybody else want to add anything of experience with groups or bad experience with groups? So one of the things that I'm finding from talking to my customers is that when we go to classroom, as we've got here, you'll notice we've got active and inactive classes. So School Data Sync will go off and automatically provision them for us and put them into this active state. So then when the students log in, they don't see any of them. When the teacher is ready, then they can click on activate, and then the class appears for the students. So I think that's a nice little way of being able to do with it. My only concern with School Data Sync at the moment, that means the group is always available, whether you've done it active or inactive. So all of a sudden, teachers may have to look after all their groups straight away because the students can access them. They just can't access it from a classroom point of view. The other thing to mention with the School Data Sync is that when you go to the class notebook, you've created them. It doesn't actually create all the students in there. It only does the adding the users to the membership of the group rather than actually doing everything from a class notebook point of view. I'm going to jump into OneNote because we've only got 10 minutes left. And I just wanted to kind of show off two other things that are kind of in here. Are people familiar with learning tools from a OneNote point of view? Nobody's saying yes or anything. But I want to show this because I think this is really good. I think this really helps to take students, certainly in more of the K-12 area where they've got maybe some learning difficulties, or reading difficulties, to actually help them excel from their point of view. Now, I've just taken the text that we've got on here. This could be any form of notebook. So I'm going to text. I'm going to get rid of the drawer first. I'm going to highlight this text. I'm going to go to Learning Tools. I'm going to say Immersive Reader. Now, this was built by Microsoft themselves as a hackathon.
So I'm going to find some text. This is my wife's list of things that we need from a baby point of view, right? So I'm just going to highlight these. And in my top here, I've got learning tools. So if I click on immersive
reading those words and kind of spits it out in a nice little simple format to be able to do this. And if I click on play, you may not be able to hear it.
Mattress for cot.
So it's actually reading out word for word, so it becomes easy. So if someone is learning to read, they can hear those individual words.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting that one to come up. Didn't think about that one, did I? Right. The text, we can make the text a little bit bigger, should they need to. We can make it smaller. We can space it out, if that's what the kind of thing that they need. Put in different text. And certainly one of the things that we've been asking for, which was great to be able to see, is a different colour. So some people need photocopies made in particular colours to be able to see things. Draw there. Now, next nice little bit. I want you to show where all the verbs are. I want you to break it out from a syllables point of view, so as they're learning to read, they can see, you know what, this is the difference between the different words. Show me the nouns, the verbs, adjectives. Take the, out there. There's probably not many adjectives in there, in all fairness. And obviously we've got some bit of text in there as well. The other thing that we get from a learning tools point of view is we can dictate. We can maybe get students to write, or to say, sorry, what they want and be able to add it directly into the notes in here. So let's just give this a quick little go. We'll dictate in English because I don't actually have the ability to do it in any other language. Oh, my phone gone. My microphone's not working. I wasn't expecting to do it on this device. But you kind of get the point with that one. Let's just jump back to the Surface. We also get, if you're familiar with the class notebook, I'm just going to go through this very quickly because we haven't got too much time. It builds out a whole structure. Now, I encourage enterprises because some of them want to understand how the education are using Office 365 so they can be prepared to, you know what, don't just give them a blank notebook and expect people to do everything. Let's build it up from a structure point of view. So what we've got here, we've got this History 101, we've got a collaboration space, a content space. Now what these are, a collaboration space, can all work together in the same section on the same page should you want them to. So we go to collaboration, they've got the co-authoring, we've got the ability to be able to draw, we can leave the videos, we can leave the audio feedback if that's what the teacher wants to do. We've got a content area, so this is only where the teacher has the ability to write and shit. I wonder what teacher only means, but I think it means teacher only. But what we've then got, we've got the individual students, as you can see, they've all got their own private area. And if, let's say Lily Jones here was logged in, she would only see her section. So it actually goes off and there can be this digital book that we're talking about, so they've got your different handouts and class notebooks and quizzes that can all be added in here. And one of the add-ons we've got here is called Class Notebook, and this links nicely to Classroom, maybe to other third-party solutions that you've got. So if I click on Connect, a notebook page, a particular score, because you know what, I think that's really good, I'm going to give you a 9 out of 10, and then I can submit it to my LMS. So even if you don't want to use Microsoft Classroom, you can still use the OneNote Class Notebook and then integrate it to one of these. Now, this is a big list of coming soon. But we've already got Google Classroom in here. I think Moodle's in here by default. Microsoft Classroom is in there. Our product is in there as a coming soon. We are one of those guilty there. But that may well be one for you to go off and have a look at. You know what? It's great being to have all this, but I can now automatically integrate it into my current LMS that's there. And then all the students can use notes, be able to do that work on their mobile device, whichever it may well be. So does anybody have any thoughts on OneNote Class Notebook that they want to share? Do they like it? Do they not like it? Or why do you not want to use it? Go ahead. Oh, okay. Okay, so a way of using it to... That's good. So a way of learning a second language. Brilliant. That's cool. Using the interest? Yeah, cool. Brilliant. Anybody else, any thoughts, comments on OneNote Class Notebook? Cool. Yeah, so at the moment, they haven't released the actual app model for OneNote.
So like Word, you get that side panel down the side. You still probably saw it in Excel in some of the demos during the week. So that isn't currently available for OneNote. So you have to almost install it onto the device. So there's no way of being able to do that in OneNote. It is coming though. So yeah, so you get OneNote, but you just don't get these add-ons at this moment in time for it. Go ahead, sir. Okay. I don't know if was it listed as coming soon? I generally don't know. Blackboard's not listed on there at all, is it? Or is it? Yeah, I don't know. It's Blackboard isn't as big in the UK point of view. It's more kind of the Moodle side of. I think we see more of it, so I'm just not as familiar with it, I'm afraid. Anybody else know? No? Fair enough. I have 2 minutes left. Does anybody want me to go through either Mix, Sway, or Office Lens? Anybody dying to hear about any of those? Are people familiar with Mix? Well, you said yes over here. You want to see Mix? People familiar with Mix? A few of them, right. I like this. So. One of these big things is, let me move my presentation over because I'm going to use this. You can see my presentation. I'm going to zoom out a little bit. Zoom this one in. So there's a big thing, a big praise over the last 4 or 5 years around flipped learning. So this is kind of giving students, and there's a bit more to this, but giving students the ability to almost learn 2 or 3 minute video clip before they walk into the lesson. So they've got a bit of a, you know what, instead of me spending 20 minutes explaining and taking questions, all that kind of thing, I might explain to them what World War II was in a quick 2 minutes that I've got there, and I might stand there with a board and they all kind of get it. And this kind of helps with this kind of facilitation. So what I've got, I can take my presentation and I can record it within PowerPoint itself. So I'll go to Mix and I'll say, you know what, I'm going to take the slides and I'm going to start recording. Now, my microphone, I think it's just there. The microphone, we've got the camera, the front camera, and you can just about see me from that point of view. So I'm here, I'm ready to kind of start my recording. I can see my microphone's going on there. I've got a bit of inking down here. But what I'll do is I'm going to click record, and it's now going to start recording my video. So on slide one at this time, I've got my ability to draw. I'm going to do it in purple. And I'd like to say thank you, because that is my name. It's Alex. I'm from BFC Networks. I'm going to jump to slide number two. I said I wanted to be an interactive session. So a nice little drawing there. And then we're going to go on to slide three. And I'm going to do this one in a bit of black. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about what this subject is, or maybe what this picture is about. Now, I can go off and kind of Mix gives me the ability to record things within my screen. And be able to take it. Now, that's a bit of a weird photo of myself on that slide. I've now closed the Mix section. You can see it's added the video to that slide. Now, what it's done is actually it's cropped the video for each of the slides when I was talking into that slide. You know, I don't want it quite there. I'll take it down. We'll make this one a little bit big where I look a bit weird. We'll take it down. So then when I go and start my presentation, the video is there playing. But what I can also do, which is actually quite nice if I escape this, is I can move my slides around and my video stays with that part of the video as well, with that slide. So then what we can do is we can do a few things. We can export it. So we can export it to the Mix website, so the full analytics website, and tells you the student's got to this page, got to this slide. We can export it to Office 365 video, so if you're using video channels within your environment, we can just export it as an MP4. So then you can upload the solution that you actually wanted to be able to do. Let me see if I can get to the Office Mix website. I know we're over time. Let's see if I've got it logged in. Mix.office.com. My mixes, have I got any in here with this user? I haven't. But this is kind of where you go and you can see these kind of the analytics. If you've got, can I go into this one? No, this is just me being able to, ones that I've watched. If we've got an Office add-in as well built into it, we'll also play within this browser as well. Won't play, obviously, with him from an MP4 point of view, because it's not interactive because you're watching a video, but this kind of the mixed thing is a great way of being able to go through that. Madam, you had a question? I don't know. I think it does support it, actually. I don't know how and all that kind of thing. It's not familiar with it, I'm afraid. We've got different standards in the UK, which is kind of a bit frustrating sometimes. But that's kind of mix. So we've kind of gone through forms, we've gone through mix. A lot of students are starting to use Office Lens. So you may well have seen a lot of people using it. You may well have been there now just using it. You kind of get your phone, you open up the mix, the Lens app, and it automatically focuses in just to the slides. So it may well be kids, because a great way of being able to go, here's the paper copy of my work, get my phone out, do the Lens. It crops the picture. You can then save it to your OneDrive, upload it to your OneNote. So it's just those slides point of view. So if you've seen people tweet with, how did you get such a good photo? Why is it so straight? It's because it's automatically turned it and made it straight and square, even though that they've been set at it from an angle point of view. So I think I need to kind of leave it there, because I am 5 minutes over. Thank you so much for coming on. Go on, a quick question. I don't like you, because my brother went to Nottingham, so I have to be very careful. Say the question again, so I didn't quite hear you. Okay, has anybody got a Surface Hub in their place? Nobody? Gentleman there. I think the worry is the price. Would I be right when I say that from a hub point of view? Yeah. Yeah. Staff pad. Yeah. 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 Cool. Well, maybe you two can connect up afterwards and maybe have a chat. But thank you very much for coming along. Feel free to tweet me, email me. I'll put notes up on the tech community. So thank you very much.